All right. Hi, everybody. This is AJ Brown, and my presentation is called Lessons from My Experience, How I Create Income Selling Options and How You Can Too. And I've got a few slides here, but I've also got some live examples I'd like to show you. So usually when I give this presentation, people need about 4 or 5 pieces of paper or a few word pages if you're taking notes. So please do that because I tend to talk fast. And I kind of do this interactive. I put up some questions on the screen that maybe you could answer just to yourself. And don't worry about getting any of my questions right or wrong, because I will give you the right answer and you'll have learning experiences. So let's get right into it. So I've got a couple of facts that I want to throw your way. There's a lot of uncertainty going on right now with what's happening in the world. We know that with all kind of skirmishes and the Fed, are they raising interest rates? Are they not? Is good news, bad news? But what's happening in the markets, if you play it right, it's going to set you up for months, if not years to come. Money is not created or destroyed in the markets. I always disagree with the talking heads, especially on days where they tell me that $3 trillion dissolved in the markets today. No, it didn't. You know, what happens in the markets is simply that money moves from one person's hand into another. So the real key behind doing any sort of investing is putting yourself on the correct side of the transactions. So make sure that money's coming your way. So analyze what patterns you're seeing, analyze what's happening right in front of your face, and make sure you're playing the right strategy so you're getting the dividends, right? All right. So let's get right into it. I like to know in these presentations, because I can tailor them as I go, what would be ideal for you? Would you like to learn how to invest for low risk and high return? In other words, learn how to fish, be 100% self-reliant. Would you like to learn how to invest, but have seasoned investors review your investments before you make them? So you're going to learn how to fish, but then you're going to have expert fishermen right there next to you doing what they do to help and being there to help you. Or do you like to just sit back and follow what seasoned investors do in their own portfolio, like fish alongside those expert fishermen and do what they do? Or are you here for some other reason? If you don't mind just throwing some answers into the chat, that would help me understand. I'm seeing some C's. I'm seeing some A's. Yeah, this is good. Okay. Good, 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 good. All right. Now that I've got kind of some insight, Ray just told me he's a little bit of an A, B, and C. Good for you, Ray. Now, I always do this in the beginning of my presentations. You've probably seen this a million times, but just humor me because it plays well into the thought process that I have when being what I call passive trader, somebody who's very kind of focused on being efficient, doing the least amount, most simple work in order to get the highest returns and lowest risk, and putting in the least amount of energy and emotional like distress to try to make those low risk, high return trades. So if I gave you $50,000 today, would you take it? Or if I promised to give you a penny a day that doubles, with that penny, don't forget there's work that has to be done in order to double it every day. Which one would you take? Let's run through the examples. So if I give you that penny, you know what $50,000 lump sum means. But if I give you a penny a day, after the first week, you've got 64 cents. That's not very much. For 1 week is about a quarter of the month that we're talking about, right? So you've already put in this effort. I've made you commit to put in this effort. I've guaranteed that you'll double your penny, but you've had to put in this effort. And at the end of the first week, after the end of the first quarter of the month, you got 64 cents. Let's keep going. Okay, so after day 10, that's about a third of the week through the month, you have a whopping $5.12. That's so much lower than $50,000. But let's keep going. All right, so we'll get to the end of week two. At the end of week two, $81.92. Are you going to stick with this? I mean, I made you commit to doing the work. I said that you would double your penny every day, but you had to put in that work. Can you stick to it, especially after 2 weeks, almost half the month, you only have $81.92. That $50,000 sure did look pretty good, but let's keep going. All right, we're at the third week. Okay, things are looking good, but the month is almost over. Third week, we're just about 3/4 of the way, and we've only got $10,485.76. It's around day 24. You've had to put in all this effort and see very little results. Stay very disciplined, stay very focused. It's at day 24 where you finally surpass the $50,000. You're on the back nine of the course. And when we get to the end of the month, I mean, if you stuck with it, you've got $21,474,836.48. I'm not sure if Albert Einstein actually said this, but compound interest is attributed as the most powerful force in the universe. It's true. That's what we just proved. But there's effort in order to compound your principal, and you have to stick to it, because in the beginning, you may not have that instant gratification thing that we all have, being tickled. All right, I want you to take a look at this here graph. Now, I'm going to come back to this graph and explain it, but I kind of want to seed your minds with this graph to get going. You'll notice here that I've got two lines and they're parabolic. They're going up and to the right. And let's see, there's like the zero line right here, and the lower line, the gray line, crosses that between the one and the two demarcation. And then they go up, like I said, parabolic or exponentially as we go. Let's come back to that one. All right, coming back to the whole doubling your penny. Now, there are some folks who will probably come on here and tell you that, yeah, you could double your money just in a day trade, maybe once in a while. But if you really want to be consistent and you want to create income off of your invested dollar, you reverse engineer it. And let's just say, if you focus on 6% on your money every month, then indeed, your investment will double every year. Now, this is what me and my program participants do. We focus on 6%. Now, most of us are making just over double-digit returns every month. So we're doubling our investment even quicker, usually in the 5 to 6 month range. But we focus on, let's make sure every single one of our passive trades comes in at 6% or more. And it's a doable target. And it's something that we can create a consistent return on. All right, if we do that and we put $1,000 into the investment pool, then we get $2,012 in 12 months, $4,048 in 2 years. In 5 years, you've got close to $33,000. In 10 years, you're a bona fide millionaire. And this is exactly the formula I followed starting in 1997, right? And so I'm doing pretty well off. We're talking 8 figures now, and I'm very happy with what my portfolio is, especially with the amount of effort that I put into this. This is not day trading, right? This is using options and using the strengths behind the options. It's also making sure you're on the correct side of the transaction. But for every position I have, I'm doing maybe 1 or 2 transactions per month, right? So let's get into it. What am I talking about? Actually, I have one more slide just to drive this point home. If you grow your portfolio to $100,000, then by employing this focus on a 6% per month gain, you're going to be generating over $100,000 every year. The mean salary in the United States right now is $87,000. Now, I know you guys on the left and the right coasts make a lot more than that, but that mean salary comes along with a 60-hour per week, you know, work week. And I've been there, right? In 2005 was the last time I collected a W-2 paycheck. That was when I worked in Silicon Valley with Hewlett-Packard. But I haven't done that since, because my portfolio does very well for me. As you can see here, this over $100,000 with a $100,000 seed investment portfolio requires not 60 hours per week. It allows me to do the things I like to do, right? So it depends on how you want to use your time. For me, time is the most important asset. It's the only asset I can't get away. Like if I have a losing trade, I can gain it back the next day. But my time, especially, I turned 50 on May 20th this year. I feel like now I'm on the downward slope here. My time is so incredibly valuable, and I've still got things to check off that bucket list. So the last thing I want to do In fact, the last thing I wanted to do in 2005 when I said sayonara to Hewlett-Packard was to create another J-O-B, just over broke, to replace the one I had. I don't want to be sitting in front of the computer. So if that kind of resonates with you, listen on, right? So what are we doing here? It's called selling Theta Decay Optimized Option Premium, which is just a whole bunch of academia nerd speak for saying we profit on time passing by, right? A lot of folks, when they think about equity options, they think about that there's two types, calls and puts. But in reality, depending on the strike price and depending on the expiration date, the options act very different from each other, right? A deep in the money, far out in time option acts more like an underlying stock symbol versus a near-term at-the-money option, which has other influences going on, versus an out-of-the-money option, right? They all have different variables that affect what the option price is. And I always see newbies out there using near-term options in order to leverage stock movements. And I always giggle when they're like, I don't know what happened. The stock went up and yet my position went down. I don't get it. It's because you're kind of jumping into the game and you're not doing what you need to do first, which is get some insights, right? So before I go any further, I'd like you to answer this question. I want to just test your comprehension here. What minimum returns must you make monthly on your portfolio to more than double your money annually? What did I reverse engineer? What should I share with you? Go ahead and type that answer into the chat. Let's see if you're paying attention. Absolutely. I see some names of folks that are in my program. That's awesome. I'm glad you guys are here. So the answer, of course, that I said is D. Now, the questions are going to get harder. So please pay attention here. Now, a lot of folks ask, aren't options risky? Well, when you think about equities, and when I think about equities, I'm also thinking about ETFs. I'm thinking about indexes, all the things that I can do equity options against. Pretty much the number one way when you're trading just an equity standalone is buy low, sell high, go long the position, right? One strategy. Now, if you're a little bit more versed in stock trading, you know that you could sell first, sell high, and then buy back lower. That's called shorting the stock. So you've got two strategies to profit, and it requires the underlying symbol to have a direction to it, going up or going down. What's great about options is that you can profit if the underlying symbol goes up, down, or sideways. You could also profit on time passing by if you know how to do it. In fact, you could also profit on whether there's fear or confidence in the market, right? Because these are all the variables that can influence an option price. There's even some more the risk-free interest rate does, and that's starting to kick in now. We've had almost a whole generation, 15 to 20 years of almost zero interest rates. So row has not had an effect on option prices. We're seeing now that interest rates are at the 5, 5.5, 5.25 range. And all of a sudden, row has become an influence again. It hasn't been an influence since the early 2000s for the most part. But with that said, there's like 27 different ways to use options to profit on the market versus two. So that's why in the late 90s, I decided options was going to be my focus because I wanted that flexibility to be able to apply a strategy, have the biggest tool case of strategies that I could use in any situation, right? Rather than those two. So a lot of folks might be on this call. I think most of you are versed in equity options, but just to remind you, it's a financial instrument. It's called a derivative. That's what the name of this whole presentation that David put on is called. It's all about derivatives. They're typically bought and sold to hedge against risk, stock, index, ETF risk, right? That's how most of the big money investors use these things. That's not what we're doing here. What we're doing is we're selling their premium, selling their extrinsic value in order to generate income. Now, let me just ask, because I can bypass these next three slides. Do you guys, how many of you with a show of hand, how many of you with a little message into the chat know who I am? You've heard me speak before. You have a little bit of insight into my background. I just had somebody who said, no, I don't know you. Who are you? And then I've got a couple of folks saying, I know you. I know who you are. Nope. One person said, "I am the man." That's great. It's funny because I don't get to see your names. I see a lot of numbers and stuff. So I'll go through this very quickly because I do want to introduce who I am. First of all, I've got all these assets out on the web. So if you do want to check me out more, you can go. I've got some shortcuts here. Just put tt4.me and then YouTube, podcasts, Facebook, Twitter, articles. Twitter, is it going to be Twitter or X? We'll see. I've got white papers that I've written. I've got articles that I write. You can get a hold of us. In fact, write down our phone number if you want to chat with me. Give me a call. And by the way, if you're at any of those assets out on those platforms out on the web, do me a solid and give me a thumbs up and a subscribe. So I founded this company called Trading Trainer. A lot of the peers out there say I'm a very disciplined options trader. I actually think behind my back, they say that I'm the laziest options trader. I like to think of myself as a very efficient options trader. What I mean by that is I don't like to do a lot of complex things when simple things work. I like to do things that I like that 80-20 Pareto principle where 20% of your efforts give you 80% of the returns. And so I'm all about lifestyle, right? If you guys do know me, you know that one of the things I started to do in my late 40s was go to a circus school and learn how to be a trapeze artist. So I spend a lot of time there. I spend a lot of time scuba diving, and I have a 20-month-old. I know I'm 50 and I have a 20-month-old. I'm not sure what I was thinking, but I have a 20-month-old that I just love spending every minute of the day with her. So the last thing, like I've been saying, is do I want to have a day job? So I try to be very systematic every time I sit in front of the computer, get my efforts completed, be done, have the money machine working. I've been doing this stuff since 1997. I've been running Trading Trainer since 2002, giving insights 5 days a week every night. And you might see this ebook that I wrote back in 2002 on folks' computers. You might see my home study course on their bookshelves. Main thing is I have some engineering degrees. I have three of them, actually, and I never used engineering my whole life. I went into marketing when I finally went into the corporate world. It just so happens that there's not a lot of people who can market a product that know how to talk to engineers. So that's a real big asset out there. I do have a strong background in commercial business as well as investing. I've been doing that for most of my life. And since my mid-30s, when I started the Trading Trainer School, I've been getting very good and very versed at doing this thing called accelerated learning methods, because not only do I want to know how to do this, which I do, I want to be able to convey that information and get other people up and running as well. And a little background, in 1997, this was before a lot of the internet, I spent $27,000 on seminars. That's where you went in on a Saturday for like a half day event. And the next thing you know, you paid a couple grand to go back for all day Sunday. And then you paid a lot more to fly somewhere for like a week long event. I was doing those. It was a good thing I was single and, renting with a whole bunch of guys at a house at that point, because I spent $27,000 on seminars that year. And that may sound like a lot of money, but even more was the amount of money I gave back in really crappy investments that first year, trying to, do those things that they were teaching me in that class, right? In those classes that I was taking, I was just throwing money at the market. In fact, if you add those two numbers up, that was more than my three engineering degrees from University of Virginia and University of Arizona cost me. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is like another college. Here's the code. Write down these four suggestions. Don't chase shiny objects. That whole penny doubling every day for a month is a perfect example of how you have to stay focused and how you're not going to see very good returns until you get into this and get the ball rolling, right? Settle on one type of investing, learn it well. In fact, examine your lifestyle, right? Some people are like, I need to learn how to day trade. And then they look at their lifestyle. They've got busy careers that they can't. If you're a day trader, you need to be there when the timing is exactly right, when your signal comes. And if you miss it by even a few minutes, you've missed the trade. So don't become an expert at something you can't do. First thing you should do before getting excited about something exciting that the marketers have written up all these sales letter and created all these videos to get you excited about, first thing you should do is really look inside and say, what is it that I can actually do now and in the near to distant future? And then focus on becoming an expert in that type of investing, that type of passive trading, that type of active trading, right? Learn it well. Number two, hire a mentor who is doing what you want to be doing and most importantly knows how to teach it. That's one of the key things. I found so many folks who were like so successful in doing exactly what I wanted to do, but they couldn't teach to save their freaking lives, right? Learn. It's called guided discovery. It's way better to learn from guided discovery than trial and error. Trust me, it's way less expensive and takes less time. Join an investment group. Look over each other's shoulders. This is something I learned at Hewlett-Packard. They used to buy Canon printers and Epson printers, take them apart, learn how they worked, and then change just one thing, create a new printer, and sell it under their name. It's called leveraging with pride. When we were in grade school, it was called cheating. But in the real world, leveraging with pride is a real thing, and you should be doing it too with your trading. And last but not least, surround yourself with like-minded investors, because especially if you pick up something like options, there's just rumors about options. And, you know, you'll every time you have a trade that, you know, doesn't go your way, somebody's going to whisper in your ear and say, I told you those were risky. And that just creates such a negative mind frick. Whereas if you surround yourself, they're like, yeah, that happens. And then they celebrate your wins. They let you look over their shoulders. They hold you accountable. So surround yourself with like-minded investors. Those four things are what took me from being a loser for the first 3 years from 1997 until 2001 to start making some heavy duty income to the point where 2005, I didn't need to work anymore. I could live off of my portfolio. All right. Last but not least about me, and then we'll get back into it. I started this foundation. I take historically underserved inner city kids off the street. I teach them how to invest the same way I teach my program participants. I have this story out on the internet about my investing turtle experiment. And so this school, Trading Trainer, is kind of near and dear to my heart because all the profits, see, in 2005, my portfolio grew big enough that my family and I could live off of it and none of us have to work anymore. We just manage our portfolio. All the profits from me teaching folks like you and, you know, my program participants how to do this go to my nonprofit, because when I'm gone, my nonprofit will keep going and my name will live on. It was kind of one of my bucket lists, was to have some sort of something with my name on it that lives on long after I do. So that's where all the profits for Trading Trainer go to. Okay. Thanks for letting me share that with you. How do we sell premium? Four simple transactions. Number one, writing covered calls. Number two, writing covered puts. In fact, in today's market, covered puts is like something you need to know how to do, not just covered calls. This is where you flip the covered call upside down. So I'm actually not going to review much about covered puts this evening, but put that on your list, to-do list. If you're not using covered puts right now, or even cash secured naked puts, you need to become versed in those. Also, I like to do the variations. So you can do a covered call against a leap. I call it supercharging the covered call writing. The kind of nerdy academia people out there call it bull call diagonal debit spreads, or a variation of bull call, or a subset of bull call diagonal debit spreads. And then you could do the same thing with covered puts. You can write those against leaps as well, supercharging covered put writing, bear put diagonal debit spreads. So please write down those four transactions. And in the corners, I want you to, next to these three of them, the writing covered calls against leaps, writing covered covered puts against leaps, mark them so that you know that those are for cash trade accounts. That's important. Not everybody has a margin trading account. And the other thing about a cash trading account is a lot of folks who have retirement accounts, those are not margin accounts. Those are cash accounts. you could do these three transactions in the cash account. The one you can't do in a cash account, because the initial covering position of this trade, it requires a margin account. It's a shorting, is the covered put. You should learn it anyway, even if you don't have a margin account, but that's the one. So what's nice about that is you can actually create the variation that is a cash trade if you don't have a margin account. So keep that in mind. Now, I keep talking about this thing called option premium. What is option premium? Well, if you know anything about options and you look at the price, just like stocks, options have a price that trades up and down. There's two components of that option price. There's this in the money value. If you're academia out there, we call that the intrinsic value. And then there's the premium component of the price. That's called the extrinsic value. Some people call that the time value, and that just irks the F out of me. The reason why is because it's got so much in it besides just time. So I don't like to call it the time value, but other people might call that the time value of the option price. So the key is that you know that the in the money value and the premium value, when you add those together, you get the option price. So what we focus on is selling that premium component. So I have an example here. I'm using actually today's end of day prices. So Ford closed today at $13.73. So if I buy shares of Ford stock, I could then immediately, if I wanted to, or I could leg into it, do it at a later date. But in this case, in this example, I'm going to do it immediately. I'm going to sell the Ford option that expires on August 18, $14 strike price call. They're going for 46 cents per share right now. So that's going to reduce my, how much I spent on Ford. It's like getting an instant discount, right? Or an instant dividend. And options are done in almost always, like almost 99% of the time, they're done in lots of 100. We call 100 option shares a contract. So if you sold the Ford August $14 call, you'd get $46 per contract because, again, there's 100 option shares there. It, like I said, it causes to reduce your break-even price because now you don't have to break even at $13.73. You've got a lower, and it creates this instant dividend. The other thing it does is that 46 cents acts like an expiring coupon, right? As we get closer to the August 18th, that's going to go down in value. And that's what we want it to do. We want it to go so that it's worth zero, so that when we have to buy it back, or if we have to, if it expires worthless, we don't have to do anything. And that's the ideal case. But if we have to buy it back, we want to buy it back for as cheap as possible, close to zero, right? So we like that it's an expiring coupon with time. So let's run through the scenarios. So what happens if Ford closes above that $14 on August 18th? First of all, we spent $13.73 on the Ford shares. We get $14 because somebody's going to exercise that call. So we get 27 cents per share profit. That's great. Don't forget, we collected 46 cents per share by selling the option in the first place. So we wind up walking away with 73 cents total profit per share at the end of the month, on August 18th. That means we walk away with close to that 6% ROI, 5.5%. Now, what happens if Ford just goes by flat and doesn't go up or down? It just stays neutral, which Ford actually has been doing for years now. Okay, I spent $13.73. I get the 46 cents that I sold that option for up front. I keep the 46 cents. I made 3.4% on collecting that premium. And then I'm going to do it again and again and again. Now, this is actually the ideal case. That way, I don't have to research and buy underlying stocks every month. Instead, I have this stock and basically I rent it out every month. And every month I get kind of a lease payment for it, right? I love that kind of analogy. Finally, what happens if Ford drops? Now, this is the covered call writing strategy we're talking about here. $13.73 is how much I spent per share on Ford. I got the 46 cents back. What that does is it reduces my break-even price. It reduces it by 46 cents to $13.28. So built into the covered call writing strategy, there is kind of a profit buffer of 46 cents per option sold, right? There's a profit buffer before I even get into the red. Now, stay tuned with me because in about 9 minutes, I'm going to show you how to reduce your risk on return even further to almost nil. But just know that built into these strategies, there is a profit buffer before you even get into the red. Okay, before I even quiz you, I want to show you this is a trade we did a couple months ago. This is some of my coaching clients and I did this trade. It was on Shopify. So here you can see we bought the stock on Shopify. We paid $47.50 per share. So I did 300 shares, which was a little over $14,000 of investment. You can see here I'm factoring in my commission price, how much I pay on commissions. And then you'll notice a couple of days, actually a couple of weeks later, so I legged into this position, I sold back at a better price that May 19th, $60 call. I got $5.25 per share. I did three contracts. Remember, contract is lots of 100. So there's my 300. I reduced my break-even price. And guess what? May 19th rolled around. The stock was above $60. So I did get exercised, meaning I got $60 per share. I only paid $47.50, but I got $60. This was a case where Shopify, actually, I bought it and it did do a little pop. The option expired. I got exercised out. Because of that little pop, I wound up walking away. Now, I wound up walking away with 37.3%. Now, this is where I've got the covered call and I got a pop and I legged into the position, but I wanted to share that because that's kind of a cool trade. Usually it's much, if it goes sideways, in fact, we can look at Shopify really quick. I've got my Thinkorswim up here. So let's just pull up the chart and take a look at when this happened. Because I just want to show you what happened. So here's what happened. Earnings was released, Shopify. And then I went ahead and waited until it started to come back down off of the hype of the earnings. And that's when I decided to sell that option premium. So very cool. Wasn't what I expected. I expected to have like what it had done in previous earnings, which was nothing. Investors were giving it nothing, and instead they did something. So that's cool. I just wanted to show you how that transaction would have worked out for you. All right. Now, this is a question where you can answer as many as you want, right? Answer all that apply. What does investing by selling premium create? Does it create an instant dividend? Does it create a discount on a security, a profit buffer? Does it act like an expiring coupon? What do you think? You can go ahead and put those answers in the chat. Okay. A lot of people are saying, yeah, yeah. I sort of subtly mentioned that all four of these were accurate. Might want to put that in your notes. Now I'm going to ask you a question kind of foreshadowing. So I told you they were going to get harder, right? How can we lower our investment, increase our returns, and even convert a margin trade into a cash trade? What do you think? Now, this is, don't worry about getting it wrong. It's better that you try to answer this. Should we sell farther out in time options versus near-term options? Should we replace the security with options trading at parity? Should we give up and just start buying mutual funds? Or is what I'm talking about not even possible? If you're thinking the answer is B, you're absolutely right. We don't want to sell out in time options. We want to stick near term. So when you sell premium, there's this sweet spot. And usually it's about 3 to 5 weeks to expiration. Now you could use weekly options, but I generally use the monthly options mainly because of liquidity. I'm usually trading like tens of contracts. And so I need to make sure it's very liquid. And a lot of times the weekly options just don't carry the liquidity that I need. There's other strategies I do. I was just sharing with my program participants a earning strategy, which are smaller positions. And those, you know, I use the weekly options because I don't do very large positions. But there's a question of liquidity. Lately, it has been possible to actually sell options and hit that sweet spot that's like 5 to 10 days to expiration. So, you know, but usually the rule of thumb or the guideline is 3 to 5 weeks out to expiration. You don't want to go farther than 5 weeks because then you're taking on this obligation. When you sell options behind the scenes, you're taking on an obligation. And you don't want to take on that obligation for just that small incremental gain. The real theta decay, the effect of having time profit for you happens 5 weeks to expiration. That's the real parabolic curve. Good question. So you might say, okay, I get it. You want to substitute the stock with an option trading at parity. What the heck is an option trading at parity? So option premium is the most when it's at the money. That's why when we're selling premium, we sell near term at the money option. But when we go deep enough in the money, the option winds up actually shedding its premium. In fact, we target that the premium component of the price is less than 5% of the overall stock price. And it's almost completely that intrinsic value. That means intrinsic value, think of it as that's what links the option to the stock price. In other words, if you use a deep in the money option, it's going to behave exactly like the underlying security, almost dollar for dollar. So if you have a $100 stock and it goes to $101, guess what? Your option is going to gain a dollar too. If your $100 stock loses a dollar, guess what? That option is going to lose a dollar too. It's linked to almost 1-to-1, but it's going to be at a cheaper price. A little bit of leverage in there. So good. We're going to use a deep in the money option. But then the next question is what expiration date do we use if we're going to find one of these substitute options? Well, first of all, I've been following lots of traders for over 2 decades now, traders that have been part of our program. And what I have found is that the real, like the ones who are doing this strategy, the typical amount of time that they stay in a single position where they continue to sell premium and it expires is about 5 months. So you can set up these investments. Now, that's a very flat bell curve. I've seen investments that only last 2 months, 1 month, all the way going out to 8-9 months. The bell curve is very flat. 8 months is usually, you know, there's only some outliers that go past 8 months. So when we buy our back month options far out in time, we want to make sure we have our back month options so that they don't expire before we're done collecting all the incomes we can. I mean, that would suck, right? If you had a house that you're renting out to somebody and you've got a great tenant and all of a sudden that house dissolves on you and the tenant's like, I wanted to give you more money. So you don't want to have your initial covering position expire when you've still got the money machine going, right? So what we generally do is we go at least 8 months out of time, if not further. And we do like to use the leaps. It's not necessary. In fact, you'll see in my Ford example, I'm using a June option. The leap options are the ones that expire in January. We typically do use the leaps, though, just because of that liquidity. You know, we want to have something that's liquid. On Ford, so many people trade the Ford options that every option chain is liquid. But so here's where we find a substitute that trades at parity. So remember, we talked about Ford closing today at $13.73. We could use the Ford June 2024. So it's not going to expire until June of next year, $7.35 call as a substitute. And that thing is going to act just like Ford, but it's less than half the price, it's less than half the price. And in this particular example, if you analyze that option that I've decided to substitute for the Ford stock, remember I said I want to have less than 5% premium. This option has 3.3% premium, so it's perfect substitute, right? So we could use that option. And now, instead of spending $13 and change, we're only spending $6.60. Then we get, it's the same thing as before. We get the 46 cents back. That creates the instant dividend, the expiring coupon. It goes to reduce the cost basis on our break-even price there. So if Ford closes above $14, we spent $6.60 on that back month option. In this case, because we've got a back month option, when we get exercised, we get to keep the difference. That's why this is called a spread. So the difference between $14 and $7.35, those are the two strike prices, is $6.65. So we get to keep the $6.65, or that's what happens when the options get exercised. That's a nickel profit per share. But don't forget, we collected the 46 cents up front. That's 51 cents per share. That's an 8.2% ROI. Not bad. Now, what happens if Ford is flat? We spent the 660 on the option that's going to expire out in June of next year. We get the 46 cents. This is the ideal case. That 46 cents expires worthless. We made 7.4%, well over that 6% that we've been targeting, 7.4% so far. And then we're going to do it again and again and again. This is how I create that income stream that comes in like clockwork every time options expire. Now, of course, what happens if Ford drops? This also has that same profit buffer built in. Now, again, in just a few moments here, I'm going to show you how to reduce your risk on return even further. But right here, built into this strategy as well, we've got a profit buffer. In other words, this thing, you have to drop this back month option all the way to $6.15 before you get trading in the red. So just a reminder, we're focusing on 6%, because if we make 6% every month, we double our investment every year. Before I ask you this quiz question, I want to show you a live trade that we did. Don't mind me. I've got a couple of screens going on, so sometimes I have to see what's going on back there. This is on Pulte Homes. So now Pulte Homes was a little bit on the expensive side, but I liked what it was doing. So I went ahead and bought, instead of the Pulte Home, I bought the January 2024 $25 call. This met my criteria for being a substitute option. That was only going for $38.10 a share. Now, remember, options are bundled in lots of 100 called contracts. And so I bought four contracts of these, about $15,000 investment. And then a few days later, this time it wasn't 2 weeks later, it was just a few days later. I like to leg into these positions. I went ahead and sold back the Pulte Homes May 6750 call. I got $1.40 per option share for that. So you could see that reduced my break-even price pretty nicely. Same thing happened with Shopify. May 19th rolled around when that front month option expired, and I got exercised out. I got the difference between the $67.50 and $25 strike price, so I got $42.50. And when you factor in my lower cost basis of $36.71, I wound up walking away. This is a pretty typical expiration for 1 month, 15.2% ROI. Not bad, right? But now that isn't, like we said, the ideal case. The ideal case is if this thing would go on and on. So that's a perfect segue into how can we drastically reduce our return on risk? So again, I'm going to ask you to kind of look at these answers and then tell me which one you think is best. Should we, instead of doing the same amount of premium as our covering position, should we instead do half as much option premium? Should we do those out in time options? Should we collar the investment by marrying a protective option? Or is what I'm talking about not even possible? A lot of the answers are coming in on the chat here. The answer is we want to collar the investment by marrying a protective option. So I want to show you, this is like a dream scenario, but it's going to tell us so much. This was a trade that we did quite a while ago, but it's just like a perfect textbook. So check this out. I bought 600 shares of this candidate ticker PAAS. I paid $34.73 per share. It was about a little bit under a $21,000 investment. And then a couple days later, I went ahead and sold the premium. So in this case, I sold a September 36 call. And then I bought a protective option. So on the same exact time, same exact date, one right after each other, I sold the premium and then I bought this protective option. Now listen carefully. That protective option, we go out 3 to 6 months. 6 months is even better than 3 months, right? We want to stabilize its price a little bit. Remember, I told you options that have different expiration dates and different strike prices behave differently. We're using three of the same call options, but because they have different strike prices, expiration dates, and so on, they behave completely different. So for our protective option, We want it to be an out of the money option that is 3 to 6 months out. If we can do it 6 months, it's better than 3 months, right? Write that down. So here you can see we used an option expiring out in January, and we used it. We were trading up here at like $36. We used the 34. That's where the protective option is going to protect us at. So if the cost basis or the break-even price dips below $34, that protective option is going to kick in even better than a stop loss order. It's going to start offsetting any losses that I have dollar for dollar. It is a guarantee. This is why people like options. It's a guaranteed hedge, right? So I bought that thing for $4.75. Time went on. We got to the expiration date of the premium I sold. I got to keep the whole $1.76. And then when I didn't need the when I didn't have premium sold anymore, I didn't need the protective option anymore. So a couple of days after the premium was sold, I found the best time, October 1st, in order to sell the September 24th. So about 5 trading days after the premium was sold, I was able to roll that protective option out at an additional profit. So a lot of times when folks use protective options, they use it as a loss, right? They want to just protect their trade and they're willing to lose a little bit of the gains in order to do that protection. This is where I'm kind of unique. I like to time my protective option purchases and then rollouts so that they actually become a profit center instead of a loss center for the overall position. It's kind of cool. And so the key is you put it on at the same time you sell the premium. That's the perfect timing. And then you roll it out usually after the premium is expired. So you see here, I made $1.76 on the premium. What did I make over here? $1.15 on rolling out the option. It's like having frosting on the cake. I did it again the next month. I made $1.47 on the premium. I then sold the protective option I bought the protective option for $3.01. After the premium expired and I got to keep the $1.47, I sold back the protective option, made another 61 cents. And then I rinsed and repeated, rinsed and repeated. So every month I do these 2 transactions and I get double the returns, right? I get money for selling the premium and I get money for rolling out the protective option. But here's the other cool thing. Notice the protective option strike price, $34. And notice what happened after the first month of selling premium. My break-even price dropped to $31.86, below that protective strike price. In other words, I'm locking in the gains. I basically now have insurance on the position for more than it's worth. It's like I've insured my house. My house costs $300,000. I've insured my house for $600,000. Does that make sense? That creates a very much a risk-free trade, doesn't it? Because now you're guaranteed, even if the whole house comes against you, if you know all the cards fall down, you're guaranteed a gain, right? And that was in the first month. And that's what's so nice about these positions. Usually in the first or second month of being in the positions, they become risk-free. In fact, coming on back to our slides, this is that trade. I plotted it out. So a couple things. First of all, there's the break-even line. So these 2 lines kind of explain what happens if the position gets exercised or what happens if the position gets stopped out. So in the first month, if you get stopped out, there's a little bit of risk. But as time goes by, well, first of all, the average time that these positions last is, like I said, 5 months. So if the position gets exercised in 5 months, you get a 65% ROI. That's awesome. However, if the underlying goes against you in 5 months, that's great too. Usually you'd say, oh God, the stock went against us. We're in trouble. But in this case, even if the stock goes against us, because it's a risk-free trade, we're insuring it for way more than it's worth, we get 50%. So have the stock go against me. I'm okay with that because I'm going to make money either way when I finally cash out on the back end. The longer I hold the position, the more that these gains clock in exponentially. It's very cool like that. Finally, I put this little line right here. This is where the position became risk-free. So again, the longer I hold these positions, the better it is, right? Not only is it better because I don't have to keep researching underlying stocks to find to do this against, And the key there is find boring stocks that are not in the news, that are trading neutral sideways. They probably give dividends to their investors so that the investors aren't pushing on the board of directors to make sure that the asset goes up in price. They're fat, dumb, and happy collecting dividends. That's always one of the keys that I give my program participants in order to find these is find a stock that's giving out dividends, right? The longer I hold these positions, the better it is because they become risk-free early on. And then it's just watching your gains grow. All right. So last quiz of the night. What do we have when our cost basis, our break-even price, is less than our protective bailout price? Do we have a risk-free investment? Do we have a losing trade? Are we getting on the verge of too much complexity? I mean, God forbid, I'm asking 2 trades per month. Or a pipe dream? What do you think? What's the answer? If you're thinking A, risk-free investment, you're spot on. So here are the 3 steps. This is where you want to get your pencil really going. Buy or short an underlying security. You would be shorting an underlying security if doing that covered put, which we didn't even touch on. But like I said, on your own time, you need to go research covered puts. Or we also talked about buying a substitute option trading at parity. That's step one. Step two, sell a near term at the money option for its premium value. That's where you get that instant dividend and set up that profit buffer on the initial position. And then collar that guy with a married option that is 3 to 6 months out in expiration, protect the investment. Rinse and repeat steps 2 and 3. Rinse and repeat steps 2 and 3. And then we talked a little bit about timing. So I told you I really like sideways, choppy positions, right? I like anything that's boring. I like anything that's going sideways and choppy. And so the key here is once you've got an idea of where it's bottoming out and where it's topping out, and you do not have to hit these points like rocket science, you could be days late on many of our positions. But in the case of the covered call or the bull call diagonal debit spread, that covered call on steroids, at one of the bottoms is when you set up the initial covering position, you buy the stock or you buy that call at parity. When you're at the tops, that's when you sell your premium and buy your protection. The premium expires on the expiration date. You sell back protection, rinse and repeat, rinse and repeat. And just to give you kind of an insight on the covered put, if you've got this same sideways choppy stock, and there's so many of them out there, and you're right now about to see a top instead of a bottom, then that's when the covered put comes in. That's where you short a stock, or you can substitute buying a put option trading at parity. Then at the bottom is when you sell the put premium and you buy the protective call. The put premium expires on the expiration date. You sell the call protection out, and then you rinse and repeat, rinse and repeat. So you're looking at it just, you know, topsy-turvy. So now here's the cool part. How would you like to never miss a pick, minimize the amount of time you spend away from your loved ones, your passions, your career, whatever it is, and have support whenever you need it? Because that's really what it's all about. It's about saving time. It's about getting clarity and getting results. So would it be okay in these last couple of minutes here if I take a couple of moments to tell you a little bit about my materials, my training, my tools, see if they might be right for you? This stuff that I'm talking about is for someone who doesn't want to pay for like a multiple data subscriptions to every service out there, wants to have everything they need in one place, doesn't want to miss any opportunities, wants to spend more time doing other things, doesn't want to be doing this alone, wants step-by-step instructions. This is really, when I summarize it up, it's someone who wants to get consistent and reliable results. Charlene's got a great story, but I'm already pushing the clock here. So we'll let Charlene, you can read Charlene's story on my website if you go to tradingtrainer.com. So we've got video tutorials in our program so that you can follow along, learn how to do this. We've got monthly live classes and their replays. In fact, we've been doing this program since 2007. And are we still connected? Well, I just heard a lightning strike or a thunder. No, I didn't hear it because you can't hear lightning. I just heard a thunder strike and I watched as the camera blinked here for a second. So I hope you guys are okay. I hope I'm okay. I hope you can still hear me.
I can still hear you. Sounds good.
Good. That was scary. I'm in my home office here in Washington D.C. right now. And if you're in this mid-Atlantic area, I think we're getting some thunders. Monthly live classes and their replays. So I've got those replays going back, and we actually have it so that they're searchable by keyword. So if you ever want to, you know, get a review on one of the details that I do in my monthly live classes, just pull up that webinar and go from there. I've got three different screeners that I've created, proprietary screeners for finding these underlying symbols. I've got some planning tools that I give everybody. I've got a macro-enabled spreadsheet that helps you plan out the trade and helps you personalize it to the size of your portfolio and your risk appetite. This is my favorite part. In fact, it's going to happen in less than 2 hours from now. We have a Thursday workshop where all of our program participants are invited, and we get quite a few of them on, and they throw symbols at me, right? And we pick out of all those symbols, I kind of give insights onto why one symbol might be better than another. That helps them learn and better optimize their picking, what they're looking for. We pick the best of the best. Usually it means it's the easiest trade to make money off of. And then we plan it out together. In fact, I then publish the replay along with the configuration for our trade planning tool right there. And so a lot of folks are part of our program and they're like, why would I ever leave you? Every Thursday, you give us yet another position to add to our portfolio. It's kind of cool. And then last but not least, I have part of our program, this thing called a trade review, where you can forward to me your trade plan and I'll actually look through it and I'll give feedback. And so that's invaluable, right? So how much is all of that worth to, right? Think about it. How much is all of that worth to you? There's also a double your money back guarantee. So I'm going to ask you to work the same amount of time I ask my inner city kids to work with me, 6 months. I think that you could probably pick this up, depending on your learning appetite and your experience with options, in 2, maybe 4 weeks, especially if you follow along with kind of our step-by-step, you know, onboarding process. But I want to be with you and do trade reviews for you for at least, you know, 4 or 5 months afterwards. So at the end of 6 months, if you're doing exactly what we're suggesting, you're not off in the weeds doing your own thing, if you haven't shown some sort of profit, not only will I give you the amount of money you paid for this program back, I'll double it. Okay. And that's how confident I am that you can do premium selling and that you can do it right. The other thing I'm going to do just for David's Synergy Trading event here is we have our coaches. We do have a higher end program where we handhold you. I'm going to have our coaches do a single strategy session as part of this. So if we add that in, the double your money back guarantee and the bonus strategy session, what would that all be worth to you, right? So for the 6 month program, if you go to my website, it's $597 all day and all night. That's a flat fee. 6 months of access. There's no other charges. At the end of it, I will ask you if you want to continue, but if you don't, fine. I believe that at the end of 6 months, if you want to go off on your own, you should have all the tools you need to do that. Like I said, some people like to come back because they like the trade reviews and they like the Thursday workshops. But in theory, you learn as you go. And at the end of 6 months, you should be able to do this on your own. For this event, I'm going to get rid of that $597 price and we're going with $497. So I'm taking $100 off just for this event. So here's how you do it. You go to optioninvesting.org/synergy. In fact, I have it up on the screen here. I opened it up in a browser window, optioninvesting.org/synergy. If you've got a mobile device, you can just scan the screen here. Here's a QR code that we all became familiar with using during the pandemic, or at least a lot of us did. And then the key here is to get the $100 off, you have to put this promo code in. So please write that promo code down. 100 capital D, capital I, capital S, capital C. So let me try this out because it says 597 here. I just want to make sure my programmers put that in right. 100 DISC, apply. Cool. It does drop the price by $497. This will be valid for a couple of days here after this event, but then we'll get the code away, because if you're interested, you're going to do it. If you're not, that's cool. So the $497 price is there. If you're having any problems with promo codes or anything like that, just give us a call and mention that you are on this workshop, this Synergy Trading Workshop. Here's our phone number. And that's really all I've got. I see not many questions. Will this webinar be recorded? And David answered that. How do you pick stocks for options? Is there a specific week or month of the month you buy? No, I look, I think I answered these questions. I look at that timing of, am I getting close to that sideways channel support or resistance? And that just drives my timing. And then I pick near term, it's 3 to 5 week out, at the money option to sell premium. And I'll look at that support and resistance and decide where I want to put my protective strike price. Usually it's right outside of the support or resistance, right? And I go 3 to 6 months with my protective option that I buy. And then I just let time go by. I don't do anything until there's an expiration date. And then I look for an opportunity to sell back the protective option and rinse and repeat. Then I sell premium, buy protection, wait, roll out that protective option. Yeah. All right. Yes, it is $497 every 6 months. In fact, not only that, like I said, I kept asking, in my mind, people were coming to me wanting to learn how to fish, right? Remember I asked you in the beginning? And I kept having people renew for $497 for another 6 months. And finally, I called some of them and I said, what the heck? Am I not teaching you well? They're like, no, your teaching's fine, dude. But why would I leave you when every Thursday you give me another trade to do and I can like send you my trade plan specific to my portfolio and you'll tell me if I, you know, I'm on the right page or not. Why would I leave you? And I said, oh, so we created a, you'll notice it on that shopping cart page. We created an option for people to sign up for life because we just thought it made sense. So there's an even cheaper way than paying $497 every 6 months to get lifetime access. And I've had people part of this program. We started this particular program of Trading Trainer in 2007. I have people that have been with me literally 10 plus years. It's kind of cool. We've got a little community going. And like I said, I'm over the time that David gave me, but at the same time, I got to prepare because I'm meeting with that community. So if you do sign up in the next few minutes, you'll get a webinar invite for tonight's workshop and we'll throw you right in the deep end and you'll just start the planning process right away with us. Yeah. So again, optioninvesting.org/synergy, promo code 100DISC. And I think that's all I've got, David.